Well, today we're going to resume in our study of 1 John, so if you take your Bibles and open to 1 John chapter 2, we're going to look at the last verse of chapter 2 and then start to begin chapter 3 this morning. And the main theme we'll see in this passage has to do with being a child of God. And we were away last week, and Ben Campbell from down the street, young man, shared the word, and I heard that he shared about being adopted by God and what that meant. So maybe some similar words that I'll share today, and kind of neat the way that works out sometimes. But again, we'll look into this topic again this morning. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 29 and reading down through chapter 3, verse 3. John says, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is this, is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." One of the greatest truths that we can rejoice in as believers is this truth, this reality that we are called children of God. It's an awesome, awesome thing when we begin to meditate upon that. So today I'd like to dig into this topic, and whenever you dig into a topic, it's always good to ask some questions. It helps you to learn. It helps you to think through some things. So I've got three questions this morning, very basic questions that deal with this topic of being a child of God. Number one is this: who is a child of God? Now, in our day, there are many who will tell you that everyone is a child of God. You may hear that, have heard people say that from all kinds of spectrums. Oprah Winfrey had a show for many years, a talk show, and at times she would have people come on and talk about, quote, spiritual things. And one of the things that she would often say is, "I believe everyone is a child of God." In our recent presidential debate, one of the things that Mitt Romney said was, "I believe we are all God's children." Let me ask you, is that biblical? Is that true? Answer is no. Now you may say, "Now wait a minute, Pastor, isn't like everybody kind of created by God?" If you look at it in that sense, are we all created by God? Does God sustain every human being? Absolutely. Are we all the offspring or the children of Adam and Eve, those first, our first parents, you could say? Absolutely, yes, we are. But to be called a child of God is a great privilege, and it's God who calls us that. And so we want to look at this question this morning again. Who is a child of God? Well, listen to what John says in his gospel. John chapter 1, verse 12. Very familiar verse, probably to some of you. John says, "Yet to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That phrase there, "the right," can also be translated privilege or power. The Greek word is most often translated as authority. And so what John is saying is this: you know what? It is an incredible privilege that you have to be a child of God, to have a connection, a relationship with God the Father. And not only that, but as his child, God has given you a sense of authority. How many of you remember when we went through the seven churches back in Revelation about 5 or 6 months ago? If you're like me, you probably can't remember a whole lot of what was said. But who can remember what Jesus said to church number seven? One of the things that Jesus said was this. Remember at the end of each of the letters, he always gave the believers a promise. And the promise he made to the church in Laodicea was this: "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Those are some mind-boggling words that Jesus said to the church in Laodicea. But what was Jesus saying? He was not saying that in glory, in the new heaven, the new earth, we're going to be equal with God. He's not saying that. But he's saying this, there's some sense of authority that you'll have. You'll have a rulership. You'll reign with Christ. You're a joint heir with Christ. You're a child of God. And there's some sense of authority that we'll have in the kingdom of God. A beautiful, beautiful thought. So back to question number one, who is a child of God? Well, according to John 1:12, only those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ, only those who receive Jesus Christ. That means what? That those who do not believe or do not receive Christ are not children of God. They cannot be called a child of God according to the scriptures. And if you still have any doubts about that, maybe you said, well, I've always thought that everybody is a child of God. Let me read to you the words of Christ. Let Jesus' words shape your thinking, not the words of this world. John 8, verses 42 through 44, we find Jesus say this. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Now, what's interesting here is Jesus is not speaking to the town drunks. He's not speaking to the town prostitutes. He's not speaking to some devil worshipers that were around in the first century. He's speaking to people who were very moral, very religious. He was speaking to those who were Jewish by birth. And because they were Jews by birth, they thought they had an automatic in. If anyone could have a claim on being a child of God, it would have been these people here that Jesus is speaking to. And yet, what does Jesus say? He says, your father is not God. Your father is the devil. I wonder how that went over that day. Probably not too well. As you read on, you know it didn't go too well in their minds. But yet, Jesus makes it very clear. If you do not love me, your father is not God. Do you love Jesus? Do you heed his words? If you do, then you are, according to Christ, a child of God. Question number two, how does one become a child of God? Well, we already discussed a little bit of that in John 1:12. John said, those who receive him, those who believe in his name, become children of God. But John would go on to say in John 1, verse 13, he would continue that thought and say this, "Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." What was John saying? He was saying this, being a child of God is not a human thing. It's not a natural thing. It's a God thing. It's a spiritual thing. You see, you don't become a child of God because your parents say so. You don't become a child of God because your parents perform some religious ritual over you when you were maybe a baby or a young child. That's not how you become a child of God. And I pray each of you here today understand that and know that, especially some of you who are younger. Because in the minds of many young people, I was a young person too, at one time, just in case you didn't know that. But I was young, and in the mind of a young person, sometimes we can think this way, because I've been there. Well, mom and dad are Christians. Therefore, I've got to be a Christian. But yet Jesus says, no, you must be born of God. John says you must be born of God to be a child of God. And this is what our scripture reading today was all about in John chapter 3, where that famous encounter with Jesus and Nicodemus. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? What did he say? You must be what? You must be born again. Or have a new birth, a spiritual birth. When Jesus says you must be born again and John says you must be born of God, that's this two different ways of saying the same thing. That's what is implied there. Well, is this new birth easy to comprehend? Yes and no. There's a simplicity to it when you think about it, because the gospel in a nutshell is very simple. But yet there is a mysterious aspect about it, because Jesus says the Spirit is at work. And what does he do? He talks about the wind, how it blows and you don't know where it's coming from. Now in our day with technology, weathermen can, they can predict, you know, we're going to have 40 or 50 mile an hour winds. They told us that the other day. They got a little insight. But really, they don't know every little time the wind moves. There's still a mystery about the way the wind moves. And so Jesus says, so too, for those who are born again, there's a bit of mystery to it. Why? Because the Spirit is invisible. You cannot see the work of the Spirit in someone's life. What can I see and I can proclaim is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can share that with all of you today. Let's pretend that none of you have ever heard the gospel before. This is the first time you're hearing the gospel. And I share the gospel with you. I say, this is the gospel. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. And you know what? Jesus went to the cross. He was the God-man. And the reason he went to the cross was to bear our punishment. Because we're guilty before God. We're all sinners. God is holy. He's perfect. We've transgressed his laws. And just like in the human sense, if you've broken a law, you're going to have your day in court. And you're going to face the judge. So too, because of our sin, we need to stand in God's courtroom and face the ultimate judge. And when we look at our sin, we know we're guilty. But yet Jesus went to the cross and he stood in the courtroom. And you know what he said? He said, I'm going to take the rap for Eric. I'm going to take Eric's punishment so that he won't have to be punished. Or your punishment. And when you believe what Jesus did for you, that he loved you and gave himself for you and repent of your sins and receive him into your life, you are now born again. That's visible. We see that. But yet there is this invisible, mysterious work of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing, but the Spirit gives life. If you're alive today in Christ, I pray that you would give glory to the Spirit of God who worked in you and enabled you to grasp the gospel and to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, if you have embraced Jesus, then you know what you can do tonight when you lay your head on your pillow? You can say, I don't know all the answers to the mysteries of life, but this much I do know. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Amen. Question number three is, what does it mean to be a child of God? It's one thing to have the title, right? You're a child of God. Great. How do we live as a child of God? We could spend weeks and weeks unraveling this question, but I just want to look at three things today in this area of what it means to be a child of God according to what John has to say in our passage. When we think about the blessings and benefits of being a child of God, it is really mind-boggling and mind-blowing when you think about it. As we go back to our passage in 1 John, I wonder if, as John said in verse 29, everyone who does what is right has been born of him. That as he said, born of him, he just got caught up in this whole mindset of what it meant to be a child of God. What a privilege it was. And so he would say in chapter 3, verse 1, oh, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Some of the translations there have, what manner of love the Father has for us. What kind of love the Father has for us. How many of you remember when Jesus was on a boat with the disciples. There was a storm and Jesus was sleeping. Remember that? And the disciples all started to freak out. Jesus, don't you care about us? Come on, help us out here, bud. Come on, help, help. He gets up. What does he do? He calms the storm. Speaks to the wind, says, be still. The winds and the waves obey the voice of Christ. Do you remember what the disciples said after that moment? What manner of man is this? What kind of man is this? They were in awe of the presence of Christ. They were amazed at Christ. I believe this is the feeling John has here. He says, oh, what incredible, amazing, awe-filled love that the Father has on us, that he would call us his children. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. It's as the little Italian guy says in The Princess Bride, which I saw this past week, inconceivable. That's what he said. Inconceivable. It's amazing. This love that God has for us. It's incredible. Let me ask you, when you think about the love of God and the truth that if you are in Christ, he calls you his child, does that amaze you? Is there a sense of wonder at the thought that you are his child? I pray that we would not lose the awe, the wonder of what it means to be a child of God. Think about John. We don't know exactly how old he is here, but it's safe to say he had been walking with the Lord for over 50 years when he wrote this letter, at least 50 years with the Lord. And yet when he begins to think about being a child of God, he just wants to jump up and shout and sing and say, what an awesome thing, what a wonderful thing to be called the child of God. That is what we are, people, children of God. It's amazing. Second thing, besides being full of wonder, is this. It means that we are not of this world. As I said earlier, not everyone is a child of God. And so because not everyone is a child of God, that means as you live out your life as a child of God, people may kind of roll their eyes at you at times. They may talk behind your back at times. They may belittle you at times because you are a child of God. Well, how should we respond to that? What would John say? So what John says in verse 1. He says, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And the him there is Jesus. John says, don't sweat it. Remember Jesus. If the world reviles you, if the world mocks you, if the world belittles you, remember Jesus. If the world says, come on, man, why don't you go out and get drunk like we're all doing? Remember Jesus. Come on, why don't you say some foul things out of your mouth once in a while like we do? Remember Jesus. Come on, why don't you just hear one more dirty joke I got for you? Remember Jesus. Jesus never got drunk. Jesus never spoke one unholy word. And Jesus never told one dirty joke. The world thinks you're strange. It's okay. Many people thought Jesus was strange as well. Listen to what Peter says in his letter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. Peter says this, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Peter says, hey, remember, first of all, remember who you once were. And I pray that we would never forget who we once were before Christ. Don't ever forget some of the sin that we were involved in. Don't ever forget the grace of God in your life. Remember what Paul said? Hey, at one time we too were disobedient, enslaved, foolish, just like the world. Because if we forget where we came from, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have a very proud attitude toward the world. We're going to have a superior attitude. We're going to look down our noses at the world who's caught in sin. And rather than look down our noses, what we need to do is get eyeball to eyeball and say, you know what? I'm really just like you, except for one thing. The grace of God has touched my life. I'm a lot like you, except you know what? Jesus is in my life, and I want to please Jesus with my life. I'm a lot like you, but you know what I am now by the grace of God? I'm a child of God. God has called me out of darkness into his wonderful and marvelous light. John says that we are not of this world, and he was okay with that. And you know what? We need to be okay with that as well. Because if we wake up every morning wondering how we can please the world or how we can receive the world's praise and the world's acceptance, it's going to be very hard to live as a child of God. And thirdly, we must remember that we are not home yet. We're not there yet. Or you could say, we're not totally complete yet. This is what John is getting at in verse 2. When he says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. If you back up to chapter 2, verse 28, ties into what John said there. He said, and now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. What was John saying? He's saying, hey, don't forget Jesus is returning. Jesus is coming back someday. Don't know when that is, but you know what? When he comes, we will be changed. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, right, in the twinkling of an eye, that which is mortal will be clothed with immortality. That which is fleshly will have a spiritual body. What a great thought, isn't it? Because these bodies that we have now are wearing down. They're breaking down. They're sick, aren't they? we're not in great shape, these bodies. I think about my body sometimes, and I know that my joints are not what they used to be. I used to pop out of bed in the morning. Now it's more of a snap, crackle, and pop as I get out. And that's not because Helen's serving me Rice Krispies in bed either. That's not why. We're wearing down. Our bodies are breaking down. My eyes aren't what they used to be, as you can probably tell. Obviously, I wear glasses, so I can see all you out there. But I used to be able to, with my glasses, read my Bible fine, and now I can't even do that. I got to do these things. My hair, right, isn't what it used to be, right? Some of you can relate to that, I'm sure. Yeah, you can say amen. But this much we can be assured of. If we are a child of God, we know that one day our bodies are going to be transformed. How so? I don't know how God is going to do it. But I do know this, if God could take the dust of the earth and fashion man with his hands and breathe into him the breath of life, I'm really not too worried about how God is going to put together my glorified, resurrected body. I just know this, he's promised to do it. He's going to do it. And we can rest in that promise. And dwelling in this great truth of seeing Jesus and knowing that we'll be with him forever, we'll be like him. Our bodies will be like him in some way. What should that do for us? John says this, it ought to have a purifying effect on our lives. Why do you think he says that? How should that have a purifying effect on our lives? Well, think about it. If we know that this world is temporary, if we know that Jesus is coming, and the reason he's coming is he's coming to judge unrepentant sin, then why would we want to toy with sin? Why would we want to play with sin if we know that Jesus is coming full of wrath, fury, and anger for sin that is not covered by his blood, for all those who are not children of God? If he's coming to judge sin, why would we want to find pleasure in that? Why would we want to be enjoying sin when he comes back? It ought to have a purifying effect on our lives. Because when he returns, hopefully we'll want to be finding our delight and our pleasure in him, in his word, and living for him and for him alone. You see, if sin is the reason for God's anger and wrath to be poured out on this world, then why would we want to spend our days in sin? Because after all, God has called us out of slavery to sin. And you know what he's called you? He says, what did Jesus say? You're no longer a slave, but I've called you a son, a child. Why? Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Are you free today in Christ? Do you know what it means to be a child of God? It means to be free from the weight of sin, the guilt of sin, because you've embraced Jesus Christ. Put your hope in Christ. Put your hope in the fact, if you know him, that you are indeed a child of God. And God will never, ever forsake you. He will never abandon you or orphan you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your grace, for your calling on our lives, that, Lord, your word says you predetermined before the world even began that we would be adopted as your sons and daughters. Lord, that just blows our mind, but we're so thankful today for your grace and for your love. Thank you, Father, for just that beautiful truth that we can be called a child of God. You've given us such grace and love. Lord, I pray that just thoughts of that love would just cause us to be humble and cause us to be filled with joy as we think about our relationship with you. It's all possible through Christ. Jesus, thank you so much for your death and your resurrection, for your life and for your promises today that we can cling to. God, I pray today that you would encourage your people. Father, just help them to be mindful of their position, their identity in Christ. And Lord, forgive us when we try to find our purpose and our identity in things outside of you that always leave us empty and always just don't satisfy like you do, Lord. Help us to rest in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.